It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome back. Good to have you guys here at Money for Lunch. I had the pleasure, I really enjoyed it, the latest installment of, The Ant? I think this time it's The Ant and the Wasp. And so, first off, I'm 55 years old. So when I get to see somebody who's 50 or 55 playing a superhero, it just warms my heart. So, you know, it was just a lot of fun. And the, what do you call it? The premise, if you will, of The Ant is, but, you know, I think the whole, you know, I mean, it's so if you want to look at it like that, then you probably aren't going to enjoy it. But if you like these types of shows, then I don't think you'll be, what do you call it? If you like Marvel in general, or if you like the last Ant show, movie, then you'll like this one. But I thought they did a great job. I thought the cast members were what do you call it, fun. Paul Rudd, I just love Paul Rudd. I've never seen him do anything bad. Michael Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer. Shout out to my friend Michael Pena. It's good to see him doing this. And even Randall Park, who you might know from he's got his own show. What's it called? Fresh Off the Boat or something. He did a great job. I just thought that he was phenomenal, and I was going to see how he was going to play it off. He did a fantastic job. And I can't forget Evangeline Lilly. She did an awesome job, too. They just did a great job. And anyway, so what does it have to do with anything? Nothing. I enjoyed it. And as I mentioned earlier, when you get to see somebody who's, who's not a something doing these kind of things, it's just fun. It just does my heart good. All right, so let's get this show on the road, so to speak. Right? I was trying to think of what would be the appropriate quote of the day for today's show. I always want to start the show off with the quote of the day. Today's quote comes from, speaking of Michael, it's not always the popular person who gets the job done. And it is by fictitious Gordon Gekko, right? Always the most popular person who gets the job done. That is so true. Right? Being a CEO, being an entrepreneur, being the boss isn't always a thing, right? So we have Antoine LaBoyer, is the president. Is the president CEO of GSX Solutions. GSX Solutions is a Swiss software vendor that develops solutions in the fast-growing digital experience, focusing specifically in Office 365 monitoring. Antoine lives in Europe, but he's in the U.S. In particular, he lives in Cambridge and got his MBA from, of course, Harvard Business School. Antoine, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, Bert. Glad to be here. And I have to say that, like you, I may be above 50, but that doesn't mean that I'm not an entrepreneur. That doesn't mean that I don't also love to go and see all these Marvel movies. We haven't had yet in Switzerland the new Ant-Man, but based on what you've said and based on the fact that I've basically been seeing all of them, I'll definitely go and hear this next one with great pleasure.
I love it. I love it. Well, good, good. I, you know what? It's like I said, anytime, you know, that you can see somebody who's, you know, 50 or 55 going out there and kicking butt and taking names, it's always good to see that. All right. So let's jump into this, because one of the things that I love that what you're doing is that you're very specific. Here you are, you're working with Office 365. So, but tell us a little bit about GSX Solutions, and then we'll get into the into a little bit more depth.
Okay, well, so GSX is a Swiss company. I know that Switzerland is known for chocolates and for good food and watches, but there's actually a few software company. We have been around for the last 20 years, and we've always been focusing on delivering performance monitoring tools which are being used by the IT department to make sure that their email, their mobile mail, all the collaboration tools are working efficiently. I used to explain to my father, who who went to see the movie The Social Network, then in the movie someone gets woken up at midnight because the network is down, and I say we are selling tools to ensure these guys can actually sleep at night, and that's basically what we've been doing. I know that I'm again using movie references, but these are great movies, and this exactly describes what we do. We make sure that the people who are responsible for the effective delivery of all the collaboration, the voice, the shared document, the mail, the mobile mail, and so on, we are making sure that they can sleep at night. That's what we do.
I love it. I love it. All right. I think it's fantastic. And let me tell you, if you're one of those network guys that is called at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they're all, rooting for this kind of innovation. All right, so let's jump into this, and let's talk about some of your specific things and what they address. You have this thing called DEM, which is not short for Democrats. What does DEM stand for?
So it stands for Digital Expense Monitoring. I wish GSX could have coined and invented the name, but we heard it from the Gartner Group. The Gartner Group is this fabulous group of research and analysts and guys that have got huge experience in IT. They look at all the things which are happening. They talk to a lot of companies like us, but also a lot of people deploying technologies. And they are extremely good at identifying the new trends, what really matters. And they have a group which we have had a lot of discussions, which is looking at all the tools to look at the health of application. This is a group which is on the application performance monitoring tool group. And what they've done for the last 2 years is that they have suddenly said that with the advancement of certain technologies, with the rise of cloud applications, it's now becoming extremely important to understand what is the level of experience as seen by the user. And this is where the notion of digital experience monitoring started to be arising and to be created. Now, if you step back and if you think about what this means, this is actually quite a bit of a breakthrough in thinking, because if you speak to many people in IT today, they are extremely good at describing to you a number of technical terms that they understand. They actually really follow these things very carefully. But all these things don't always translate in what is the ultimate metrics, which is basically, are your user happy using the application that you are providing them with? And this is what really digital experience monitoring is about. And the term was probably, you know, came out a couple of years ago. And it really hit a nerve. It really, a lot of companies, as they were changing their applications, as they were defining and discussing about new architecture, they realized that they have to start incorporating this notion of digital experience monitoring as the yardstick, as the indicator to be able to show that they are successfully running application for their user. So So this is what digital expense monitoring is about. And it has nothing to do with politics.
And this is really a great tool for those individuals who are putting out these different products. As we all know, when you do a product, is out, seldom do they work 100% of the time. And what happens is a lot of consumers will not take the time to let the creator, manufacturer know experience. They will just find a solution. So having this DM allow you to give this feedback to the creator, the manufacturer, to me is a fantastic tool.
Well, I have to say that in the past it was difficult to gather this sort of information. And now there are great technological progress which have been done. And what you know, and we've discussed with in many situations in our experience, because in the past you would have a number of people complaining and saying, you know, we can't access, we can't do this. And the guys who are responsible for this system would say, look, we are looking at this and this and this and this, and all the systems are in green. Think of a car where the you know, the engine is humming at the right number of you know, turns, where you have electricity going and so on, and yet the system is slow, the car is not running. This is in a way what has been happening in the past, and the fact of being able to qualitatively measure the experience which you are delivering, that is something which is a huge step forward, because all these cases have been happening. What usually happens when we do not have digital experience monitoring is that emotion, I would say, primes the fact. The
right.
You know, the feeling of the people, they say, now it feels slow, we don't know exactly what's happening. And you don't know what, you don't know whether this is true or not. You don't know if people are in a bad mood or not. You don't know if something is happening. If you start thinking in a way that is end user based, digital experience monitoring based, you don't have any more emotion. You are capturing an information which becomes the metric that you use. And if people come and say, you know, I have an issue on this office, things are slow, you can see what's happening. You can actually identify at a very granular level if this is true or not and what is affecting this. This is a very significant breakthrough. And once again, the end user is the person who is the most important for these applications. All the formal metrics that people were looking at, these are important ones, but ultimately they contribute to the satisfaction of the end user. And this is why this is something that is unbelievably important. And as a lot of companies now are changing their architecture, and we've done a lot of work around Office 365, they have to start thinking about this. Microsoft did a fabulous job in Office 365 by offering a system which can scale, which offers a lot of new functionalities. And this is one of, you know, I think this is one of the greatest success of the new area that has been introduced with the arrival of Satya Nadella at Microsoft. And what you have right now is that you've got a lot of companies which are moving into Office because they want these new features, they want this innovation, they want to implement them fast. But no one is going to forget about the fact that we need to understand that all of these things needs to be, you know, they need to be managed, they need to make sure that people are comfortable. When you move things into the cloud, there was a time when, for instance, the data would start moving around certain locations, certain data centers. So suddenly you have a network, you've got an overall experience with all the technological dial and whistles which have been optimizing, and then suddenly you've got new applications, new features, the data have started moving, and you have to start readapting to this new environment. You don't control the changes the way you used to control when everything was running into your server. So the way you have to understand if something needs to be modified, taken care of, is by understanding what is the level of experience that the user are now having. Now, I've spoken about Gartner. They were discussing, there's a group that works on what they call the best practices. And right. In the last couple of years, they have worked on issues about migrating data, modifying the architecture, working about a number of systems. And what is very interesting is that they are now realizing that the next topic that needs to be addressed is being able to make sure that the performance delivered is an effective performance. So in other words, you've had all this massive amount of work which has been taken place, which is still continuing. I mean, the growth of Office 365 is going to be very, very significant for the next, I would say, 3 to 4 years. And the maturity about how to leverage this new technology is now starting to be coming. Very typically, very, you know, it doesn't surprise anyone, but it's probably, of course, in California that you have the most amount of awareness and experience, but it's starting to come to the other coast. It's starting to come to Europe, where I'm calling you from. This is now what is starting to come and to appear. And this is a very logical complementary step to being able to leverage all this work, which has been done by Microsoft to deliver a number of tools which are extremely effective. Right now, there's a big conference happening called Microsoft Inspire. If my team is listening to me, I hope you guys are having a great time. I'm sorry, not with you. That was a wink to them. And Microsoft has announced that Teams, which is the follow-up of the Skype that everyone knows, as well as the business version of Skype, which is called Skype for Business, Skype is now made available like a free application. I encourage a lot of people to actually use this, and we've also announced the ability to understand the end user monitoring for the voice component of Teams. And we are extending this because we know that companies will want to make sure that they can maximize the value and the performance of these tools. So that's before that, there was no real way of gathering some of this. This is a real step forward.
No, it's brilliant. I think, you know, what's amazing to me, Antoine, is that I already thought that they had some systems in place to do this, and it just blew me away when I found out that there isn't anything out there. But yeah, look, if I have a software program, especially a SaaS type program, you want something like DEM on there so I can get that feedback that I need. Now, let me ask you this: besides the application to Office 365. Are you guys looking at extending to other SaaS applications as well?
I'd like to answer this question because it's a very important one, but can I come back to one other thing that you've said, which sure. I'd like to dwell on. Microsoft has got unbelievable tenants. I went to a number of presentations. We know the Office 365 team, and they are doing absolutely a fabulous job in the tenants, which is what I would say they are responsible for. And I know some of the things they are doing. It's really remarkable. I have a lot of I'm envious. I'm jealous of what they are doing. But regardless of what they are going to be doing, Microsoft will never be responsible for the entire chain of network, devices, architecture, routers, and so on, from their tenant to the end user. So when companies are moving to Office 365, they thought in the past that they didn't have to worry about a number of things like overall monitoring because Microsoft is doing it. Let me tell you, the tenant is unbelievably reliable. I think a year ago, they might have been in one place in the US and one place in Asia, a couple of blips, but basically that's gone. It doesn't mean that the issues of performance for people who are using the system have gone away because the as soon as the data start leaving the tenant, this becomes the responsibility of the people who are, you know, using the service. It becomes the responsibility of the classic IT team who are contracting with Microsoft. So a lot of the issues that we find when we go and discuss with, and we work with unbelievably large, software companies who've developed, they deploy these from a long time ago. We got one of the largest deployment with 350,000 user, multiple tenants dedicated worldwide, some places which are in premise because of legal issues. We're also working with a number of big MSPs and big partners. All the customers and all the companies who are using Office 365 have to understand that this is their sort of responsibilities to put in place the right amount of network, to be able to understand if the right protocols are being used, to look at a number of issues about authentication and so on. And this is, in a way, what we've had to teach. I don't want to say teach, but we've had to discuss and explain to a number of companies that this is a different set of things that they are responsible for. The responsibility doesn't go away because Microsoft is now responsible for a number of elements like which are in the tenant. As soon as the data leaves the tenant, it is the customer who is using the system who's got to be responsible for this. And we've spoken to a lot of companies which ultimately, whenever there was an issue of performance going down, they would actually open a ticket at Microsoft, which is something that, you know, takes resources, costs some time, but the issues was with them. We've had a couple of cases where the subsidiary, there was a great company that we worked with. They called us and they have actually petroleum platforms. And they wanted to know if they could be using Office 365 on the platforms. So we use the tool that we have to capture the end user information. We've called it the robot user. So it's very Marvel-like, if you want. And we've installed them, and we're able to actually identify issues about network capacity. We identify a number of issues about the specific modification they had to do on the wide area network, because there were some specific scenario that were not working. And we were able to maximize the effective delivery of Office 365. We had another case where we were called by actually one of our partners that was doing this, and suddenly there was a big issue, and they installed a robot user, and the data that came in was that in a number of areas, I think it was in one in Japan and one in Germany, the old data was basically going via the American headquarters to go back. You know, it's like you got data coming from Japan, it arrives, it's right on time, and then it has to go to the headquarters and come back. It was a mistake done by the networking team. Microsoft is not responsible for this. And this is where we are unbelievably complementary. This is actually a new area of monitoring which is taking place. This has nothing to do with the classic tools used for infrastructure for network monitoring. There are some fabulous companies doing analysis of network and analysis of website. There's a company that called New Relic that I have huge respect for what they do. There's a company called Apneta, which is doing a lot of things. But no one is doing what we are doing because it's a real new business which is appearing. This is a very innovative technology. In the past, this was not so important. But now that you've got a number of applications like Office 365, which are mission critical, and where, once again, the SaaS provider doesn't control everything from start to finish, there's a need to understand that you need to get the data, understand which is the part which is responsible. And this is why this is a new awareness which is happening. That's what we are seeing right now. And once again, we discussed with Gartner. This is, in the U.S., partly in California, where, again, IT maturity is always coming from Silicon Valley in California. A lot of people are aware of it. And this is starting to be spreading across all the other geographies right now. So this is why, this is why this is really new. And people in the past could live, quote-unquote, without this. But now if they want to make the most out of a tool like Office 365 and some other SaaS application, this is a must-have for them. I hope I was clear about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it absolutely it's a must-have, right? Absolutely. I think it's fantastic.
And that answered my question, because it is applicable to other areas, other SaaS programs. And I think that what GSX is doing is, again, it's just one of those ideas or one of those services that the minute you hear it, you go, yeah, of course, everybody should be doing this, because we know that the old system doesn't really work. You know, and a lot of people are frustrated, or like I said, you know, I might contact support occasionally, you know, depending on how invested I am in that program. But if it's a new program, and I can't, you know, sometimes it's easier to find a new vendor or a new software than it is to try to, you know, figure out why something isn't working correctly. So I'm excited about GSX, and I think that Antoine, you guys are doing a fantastic job. I'd love to bring you back in a few months and get an update as to what you guys are doing. And I want to thank you so much for stopping by and sharing today.
Well, Bert, I'd be delighted to do this, and I hope that when we next meet, we know what has been happening in Avengers 2.
Absolutely. All right, Antoine, thank you so much. Good stuff there from Antoine Boya. He's the CEO of GSX Solution. What does that mean? It sounds like if you are right now developing a SaaS program, or maybe you already have a SaaS application that you've launched, and you want to get some digital experience monitoring, these guys may be the solution for you. And in case you're wondering, all you have to do is go to gsx.com, and they have a button there where you can request a demo, get more information. This might be the thing that you're looking for. You know, it's interesting to me because I'm excited, and I don't even have a SaaS application, but to me, it's like a no-brainer. If you're in the software market, you need this. Anyway, my friends, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Do me a favor, please share this episode with everyone in your contact list. Let's help other people find out about GSX and about how they can solve this software monitoring issue that a lot of us face. As always, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.